We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The Lakers, in a text to J.R. Smith, you up? Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. Again, a lot to dive into here on a Wednesday. We'll get back to what was and wasn't the case about the noose that was hanging in the garage of Bubba Wallace a little bit, as Ryan McGee will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll also keep talking about baseball being back.
They're back.
Are they?
They're back.
They're back.
Listen, they are back. They're back. I mean, it's agreed to. They're going to start. So they're, come on, jump in with both.
Healthy skepticism.
We have lived in a world of uncertainty with baseball long enough. We have finally had a mandated season set down. They are now subject to all the uncertainties that the other leagues are.
Exactly right.
That we act and operate under the assumption they're back until they are not.
They're going to be at a point where basketball is getting now, where they're getting to report in the next couple of weeks, and they're starting to do their testing before they travel to Orlando. So if anybody tests positive, which players have, they can be isolated before they even go to Orlando. And then we have our first, as was mentioned in the open there, our first big-time player of a top team, Avery Bradley, who a lot of the talk had been Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving starting the Players Coalition and bringing up the fact, do we not play so we don't lose momentum in what we're trying to fight for with social justice? You know, there was that, the thought process of players not playing there, and we wondered who was going to jump into that, especially the top teams. Well, Avery Bradley said he is not playing, but the reason he said, and we've mentioned it a couple times, his oldest kid, his son Liam, has trouble recovering from respiratory illness. So remember, families can come down after the first round of the playoffs, and certainly the Lakers are expected to be there all the way till the end. And it was basically, he said, his son would probably not be allowed to come into the bubble because of that. So for that reason, he said, I am not showing up, which is, listen, who's going to say anything about that?
Right.
Nobody is going to say anything about that. So he won't be coming. And then they're looking to bring in J.R. Smith, which is a gift to all of us.
It's the gift we don't deserve. And we appreciate the Lakers going down that road. But let's just not throw out the idea that losing Avery Bradley isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Started 44 games for this team. And in that weekend, remember, we all talked about it. Remember when we were in a studio? We were talking about sports being played when the Lakers had that big weekend against the Bucks and the Clippers, and they went 2-0 in that weekend. I think it was the second of those games against the Clippers in which Avery Bradley scored, I think, 29 points
plus
in that contest. It was
so
huge.
He's so big on defense.
Yeah.
He's so big on defense. They're definitely going to miss him. J.R. Smith, while we're having our fun with that, is not the player Avery Bradley is. So they are certainly going to miss him as they try and, you know, and win this championship.
Yeah, it's no doubt. And this is kind of what we're waiting to see now with a lot of this. That's why Nikola Jokic's test as positive kind of is the, I think, is the first name that we've heard where we go, okay, again, this is real. This is something that could have a potentially effect going forward. We expect positive tests on the way back into this. 100%. But it's a reminder that all it would take is one positive test for a player of that caliber who is not immune to this just because they're very good at basketball to all of a sudden make things very different for a team.
And for those that you mentioned it, I don't know if everybody knows, Nikola Jokic tested positive in Serbia.
Right.
Where he had been hanging out with
Novak Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic, who tested positive. So he's in Serbia and tested positive there. So, and now he was about a week into it. So he still has about another week or so away before he gets cleared.
And he needs two negative tests in order to be able to come back.
Before he can even get to Orlando.
Yeah. Here's exactly what happens. He can't get to Denver yet. So once Jokic arrives in Denver, league protocols require that he undergoes a cardiac screening and test negative once for the coronavirus before he can join the team in workouts. It's expected he'll have two negative tests in Serbia before clear to travel to the U.S. So we're really going to have three tests for Jokic. By the way, Jokic has done the opposite thing of Bryson DeChambeau.
He has.
Remember, his nickname was the Dad Bod God. He's just the Bod God now.
He has ripped himself. He's lost like 40 pounds. Yeah. He looks great.
Yeah. And by the way, again, I don't want to steal it. Kudos to our Randy Scott.
Yes.
He was the one that came up with the Dad Bod God line for Jokic. And so I do not want to pretend like I'm not giving him all the credit in the world
for
that one. So again, but these are the kind of things that the NBA is going to have to brace for. We're going to have this round of positive tests.
And today, we kept bringing up today as the deadline. And as we are all not shocked, it is called a soft deadline now. Yeah. So basically, the deadline was supposed to be today.
Maybe.
The player had to let the team know, are you showing up to go down to the bubble? So now it's considered a soft deadline, and the real deadline is going to be, what, July 1st or in that area there, where they have to set their rosters. Again, 13 to 17 players that they can take down to Orlando of a party of 37 total for each team.
Right. So we're in the process of declaration.
Yes, yes.
We're in a declaration atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly.
For lack of a better term.
So basically, it's not a deadline today.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah
it's no deadline.
It doesn't happen today. Well, you're out.
Will there be any more? That will be an interesting thing. That is a name. That is a player that would be a key cog for the Los Angeles Lakers trying to win this thing.
And it's a reminder that you don't know the biggest blind spot we have in sports in general is, in a lot of cases, everyone's family situation. We just don't know what they've dealt with, what things go on there, and what could lead to something like this. With Avery Bradley, we already dealt with this with Trevor Ariza the other day in a very specific family situation that led to him not being in the bubble either.
And the player for the Wizards, who was coming off two ACLs, had his best season, going to be a free agent, didn't think it was worth it, outside the playoff picture right now.
Yeah, Davis Bertans, I believe it is. Yeah, said, I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
I got a big deal. I'm going to sign. I'm not going to take a chance of getting hurt because we really don't have a chance in this playoffs. And who's going to say, hey, you're being self? No, you're not. Go, you're doing the right thing. Go ahead.
Even the Wizards.
Even the Wizards are like, don't get hurt.
Because they want to resign.
They want to resign.
And I think he wants to sign with them.
Exactly. They may have said, hey, don't go.
Here's what we want you to do. All right? So those are part of the decisions that have to be made about who's going to be in the bubble. And then our own Brian Windhorst, our fine ESPN NBA Insider.
There you go.
Yeah, cut that one.
Nailed it. Was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons talking about some of the weaknesses that you will find in the bubble in the NBA.
I spent 4 weeks in April talking with all the experts I could get my hands on about what a bubble would look like. And Tim Bontemps and I wrote a story basically saying what needs to be in a bubble. And the NBA pretty much has everything that we had, with the exception of one thing. And that is that the staff members who take care of the players, who take care of their rooms, who do their laundry, who are going to cook for them, we felt that, in our working of it, that those folks would have to be quarantined in the bubble. The NBA and Disney have decided that's not the case. To me, that's where the weakness is. You are having those folks going back out into their lives in greater Orlando where the cases are rising and then having them come in.
Listen, that's going to be true everywhere, right? It's going to have NHL when they go to Vegas, the hotel workers. Major League Baseball, they're flying to different cities. NFL, they're flying to different cities. College, they're going to different cities. That is going to be everywhere. You're going to deal with people that you don't have direct knowledge of who they've been in contact with.
At least the NBA is doing the best to limit that, but it's still, there's no foolproof, bulletproof bubble.
Right.
It just
doesn't
exist. And again, this is all a grand experiment. We'll all admit this. In every sport that's either trying to resume or is trying to start or will be starting shortly, there is no guarantee on anything. We're all just going to go down this road and say, hey, we hope it works out, and we'll see what happens. So coming up next, how does NASCAR move forward after an emotional weekend in Talladega about what was true and what wasn't true? We'll talk about that next with someone who knows the sport better than anybody. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who quite frankly has done a marvelous job sort of navigating everyone through what NASCAR is, what it isn't, and what it needs to be going forward. So it's just great to get him on the show today. And, we're delighted to be joined now by Ryan McGee, ESPN senior NASCAR writer and the host of Marty McGee podcast. Ryan, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time. Obviously, I just want to say from a personal standpoint, I've just enjoyed so much your insights and the things you've shared about what NASCAR is and what it isn't and what it's meant to you and the perspective you brought to it over the last couple of weeks. Just before we get into anything else, I just wanted you to know I really appreciated your authentic voice on all of this and the things that NASCAR has been trying to change over the last 10 days or so.
Well, that means an awful lot, especially coming from you. And now it puts a lot of pressure on me to make sure that I say the right things over the next few minutes.
Well, let's just start with letting you tell us and everybody what your thoughts were when the FBI said, hey, this rope had been here since last October. It's not a hate crime against Bubba Wallace. So what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the initial response was just relief. Because the most difficult part of all this for me, having been around the sport for 25 years and having friends and literally on every single team in that garage and knowing the security guys at Talladega Super Speedway and knowing the staff at Talladega and knowing the executive people at NASCAR, I was having a really difficult time trying to wrap my brain around someone within that group having done this. And so that was my initial reaction, was just relief. And then my second reaction was, I think, a reaction that most people have, which is, well, what in the world, you know, did everything we saw on Monday, which was the most moving moment I've seen in a quarter century covering this sport, you know, did that take away from this? And did this, with this news, now slap a forever asterisk on what we saw on Monday. And so those was my initial reaction. But the primary part, and I think this is the part that gets lost with a lot of people in the sensationalism part of it, is it's relief. I mean, there was no hate crime. And that part of it is that's the most important part. I don't know if it's what everyone's focusing on today.
No, you're right, and there's a million different directions we need to go with this. But most importantly, because we're getting a lot of this, Ryan, from people saying, "Well, that's just a garage pull that is in a lot of garages." And look, we're not in the pits a lot of times, and NASCAR and the FBI have said definitively, "No, this was a noose." So I guess as someone who's been around the sport as long as you have and has the expertise in it, is this the sort of thing you would see in a lot of garages?
You wouldn't see a noose. You'd see that rope. You'd see that pull down rope in every garage. And yeah, that's the part I feel like I'm kind of screaming. I'm working on a piece for ESPN.com for later today. And that's the part I'm trying to reiterate, which is, you know, the FBI used the word noose four times in a very short statement, yesterday. And so, NASCAR has continued to say noose. Bubba Wallace has continued to say noose. No one has denied that. And so I've seen a picture of it. That was shown to me by NASCAR. It's a noose. I mean, our former coworker, Bob Pockers, who's at Fox Sports now, he posted a picture on his phone from October of last year, and you could see it hanging there. And the FBI looked at every single one of those pull-down ropes in the Talladega Super Speedway garage, and the only one that was tied in this configuration was the one in garage number four. And so the fact that it was a noose is indisputable. And also the tinfoil hat of conspiracy theory folks who all want to say that, you know, Bubba was in on this and Richard Petty was in on this. And no, there's no way that could possibly have happened, because there's no way they could have predicted where they would be in the point standings, which determines what garage stall they would have been in. There's no, particularly with the pandemic restrictions, the teams are much smaller. They're more spread out for social distancing. So there was no way for anyone to have known that the 43 car would have been in garage stall number four this weekend.
Talking to Ryan McGee with us here on Golic and Wingo. Ryan, Marty went on Scott Van Pelt last night and said that if NASCAR had to do it all over again, they probably would have issued a different statement initially. What do you think could have been done differently, if anything should have been, going through this process from NASCAR all the way through?
Yeah, and Marty and I, as you guys can imagine, we were talking about this you know, even before the FBI's statement came out, we were talking about this until about 2 o'clock in the morning last night. We'll be talking about it all day today. And so I think that the wording was so strong in NASCAR's statement on Sunday night. And I give them a pass on that, quite frankly, because think about the context of that day. You know, you're the NASCAR executives. You already know this fight's coming. You know, when I talked to Steve Phelps the night that they announced the Confederate flag ban, what he said to me was, he said, we all know hell's coming. We know it is. But they were ready for that fight. And so that Sunday at Talladega, and your race was just rained out. And the day started with a Confederate flag and a defund NASCAR banner flown behind an airplane over the track. During that day, a convoy of pickup trucks with Confederate flags were riding around the perimeter of the racetrack. Every news channel, this is the footage that they were showing. Your race gets rained out, and as you're settling in for, well, at least maybe we can get something to eat, someone walks up to you and says, hey, by the way, there's a noose hanging in garage stall number 4. And so I think that's where the passion and the message that was trying to be sent in that release. Looking back, maybe they could have backed that up just a little bit with the intensity, because we all ran with that. The drivers ran with that. That is what the drivers used. That was the impetus for them. And NASCAR had nothing to do with the pushing of Bubba Wallace's car out to the grid and the dramatic, you know, following of that car by every crew and the circling of that car by every driver. That was started with the drivers because they were so angry over what was found in the garage and when they found out about that on Sunday night and on Monday morning. So, yeah, maybe back the language up a little bit, but within the context of that day and within the context of what the nation has been enduring over the last month and NASCAR finding itself on the tip of that spear in this conversation of social change, I get why the wording in that release was so strong.
Ryan, one of the other things, and again, we are not racing NASCAR people, so we don't know how much the track is used, the garages are used, but if we say a rope looking like that is a pull-down, that's not the norm there of what other ropes look like in other garages, why did it take so long for that to actually get noticed if it was been like that since last October?
Yeah, well, and keep in mind that, you know, that garage stall had been used by other teams in other series. I mean, they've been running races there all weekend. And the team itself, the 43 team, had been in and out of that garage stall a couple of times just that very day. It was when they had returned from another tech inspection. So just so you guys know, cars go through tech inspection multiple times. You know, they're rolled in and out for practice. They're rolled in and out for qualifying. They're rolled in and out for tech inspection. And in this case, they had already, that car had been in and out of that garage a couple of times before even anyone on the team had noticed it. So it's just kind of a background thing. You know, it's not like it was not like it was hanging from the center of the door in some dramatic Hollywood fashion that everyone would have seen it. You know, it was over there on the side, a rope that already existed that was, for whatever reason, fashioned into a noose. And so, you know, it's just like if you're going to practice, you might not notice that blocking sled that's sitting over there 7 straight days. But then the one day you do, you're like, oh, that blocking sled's been sitting there. It's just kind of, the garage is a busy place with a lot of stuff going on and a lot of gear, and they just didn't notice it.
So, Ryan, looking at this now, we've seen Steve Phelps has already come out and talked about this. Saw Bubba Wallace was on CNN last night addressing this, talking about his perspective on it. What does NASCAR now prepare for going forward in all this? You mentioned that Steve Phelps said after the Confederate flag removal that they knew they had hell coming. What is NASCAR prepared for now in response to this?
Well, I think they are prepared to continue with they are so passionate and so adamant about this and about making sure that, you know, what NASCAR is, the perception of what NASCAR is changed. And they have been frustrated by that for a long time. You know, we learned this with Kyle Larson, you know, when he used the N-word playing an online game on television, you know, just a couple months ago, which seems like 15 years ago at this point. Yeah. But you saw how everyone in the sport circled the wagons and Kyle Larson disappeared. Because this is not the sport that it was in 1965. And people, NASCAR fights every day to change that perception. That's not going to change. This just makes it a little more complicated because now the crazies have arrived. You know, now if you go on Twitter at all, There's a whole other level of, you know, people making fun of Bubba Wallace and comparing him to the guy from Empire, and people trying to frame this up as, you know, something that was faked. And so now, you know, the challenge for NASCAR is going to be to keep their eye on the ball when it comes to, you know, racial diversity and racial equality and supporting Bubba Wallace and everything that means. There's just kind of a whole other layer of crazy involved in it that that they weren't counting on.
And to that point, Ryan, we saw that support Monday. And again, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen at any sporting event. Forget NASCAR, in any sporting event I've ever watched. That support is going to be needed more than ever for Bubba going forward, because you're right, there are going to people going to make the incorrect conclusion that he had something to do with it, therefore this whole thing is bogus, hashtag fake news, which is not true. So we've had Bubba on the show, and he was great. Give us a little insight into this guy and what makes him the person that he is, who had the guts to say, hey, man, we need to get rid of that flag. And NASCAR said, you know what? We've talked about it before, and we tried a soft stance on this before, but you're right. We're drawing that line in the sand. Give us some insight who this kid is.
Well, and, you know, I keep steering people back toward a story that I wrote for ESPN the magazine 2.5 years ago, and it was on the eve of his Daytona 500 debut when he had signed to drive Richard Petty's number 43 car back in 2018. And, you know, I've covered Bubba since he was racing late models, which is like double A baseball. And I covered Bubba when he won in the truck series and when he was racing in the Xfinity series and when he drove for some big teams and finally landed with Richard Petty Motorsports because it would get him to the top level of NASCAR. And he shared with me 2.5 years ago the life that he's had to lead that, unfortunately, you know, every person of color in the United States, it feels like, has had to lead, which is when he was 9 years old, he had a cousin shot and killed by police in Knoxville, Tennessee, that led to multiple court cases, and it was a very controversial shooting. He was pulled over shortly after signing his first big NASCAR contract because he bought a new tricked-out Jeep, and he was pulled over in Virginia for a failure to give a turn signal while changing lanes. And by the time the stop was over with, it was half a dozen police cruisers and canine units crawling all throughout his Jeep because they didn't think that someone like him should be driving a $50,000 tricked out Jeep. And so he shared those things with me, and I spent time with his mother, who was at the very front line of the protest when it came to the killing of Bubba's cousin, her nephew. And so he'd never shared those things publicly before because he didn't think that what he didn't want is he didn't want people to think he had gotten to the NASCAR Cup Series because he was black. And drivers are very sensitive about what got you to the top level. They don't want anyone to think they were there because of any sort of advantage, be it money, be it bloodline, you know, be it because you came from the Drive for Diversity program. And he said to me then, once I've matured enough and I feel like I have the platform and I feel like I have the voice, I absolutely want to make people understand that this sport is awesome, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter what your background is. And now that moment has arrived, and that's who Bubba Wallace is. When I interviewed him, he was 20-something years old. When I first met him, he was 16, and now he's in his mid-20s, and he has matured into this moment at the right time. And I can tell you this, and you guys know because you talked to him, he will not be backing down anytime soon.
No. Listen, that's a very interesting background, and we look forward to seeing what happens when they head to Pocono this week. Ryan, again, we appreciate your time, but most importantly, we really appreciate your perspective on this, and we look forward to many more conversations going forward. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
You know, we're also going to get to, we have Ryan Clark coming up, right, when we get back to this again, someone involved in racing's who's still involved in racing, his father raced, and he's still involved in racing, and what his comments were about this is unbelievable. And, of course, first thing he did was
my bad. Yeah, well, that's not what I meant.
But,
no,
oh,
we know
my God.
We know what you meant.
So we'll get to that.
We're going from one Ryan to another Ryan to talk about one LSU safety and another LSU safety. It all makes sense. We'll get to that after SportsCenter.
Time to say play ball as the union and the league, their differences, at least for the right now, are over. The commissioners imposed a 60-game season. Two sides agreed on the logistics of the season. It's going to start either July 23rd or 24th.
Some notable changes, DH in both leagues, runner on second at the start of extra innings. We will see if a season actually takes place, but there is agreement, and we look to have guys on the field pretty soon. NASCAR, we just talked about that. 48 hours have been kind of wild these last few, and when the FBI finally concluded that Bubba Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime, an alleged noose that was found in Wallace's garage on Sunday, but the investigation revealed the piece of rope was in the garage as far back as October of 2019. And as players start to let their teams know if they're going to show up to their city and then go to Orlando for the resumption of the NBA season, two-way guard Avery Bradley for the Lakers is opting out of the NBA restart. They're certainly going to miss his defense as he guards pretty well. Players are shooting just 24% from deep when Bradley is guarding them, and look for J.R. Smith to be the potential
shirtless
replacement.
That is SportsCenter, and it is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at StraightTalk.com. Golden Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know, this is the way we rack them and stack them. We went from Ryan to Ryan, and we just heard from Ryan McGee, and we're delighted to be joined by our very good friend and our fine NFL and college analyst, Ryan Clark. Ryan, we'll get into football in a minute, but it is just good to talk to you, my friend, because I know your son, Jordan, who's playing for our friend Herm Edwards at Arizona State, had an unsettling situation at a fast food restaurant in the Arizona State area. And just more importantly, how is Jordan doing right now?
Oh, he's doing extremely well, honestly. Jordan has handled the situation, you know, the way a young adult should. He made sure that the tapes were found and, you know, that he got them over to Arizona State security just to make sure that, you know, him and his friends, you know, weren't ever painted out to be doing something that they said that they weren't doing. And, you know, we are trying to move on. I think it was crazy. The first time I ever got to talk about it out loud was on TV. I suggest people don't do that. You should probably talk to other people before you go on TV. But up to that point, I'd only talked to Yonka, it's my wife, and Jordan about it, and then my girl. So I had a lot of outward discussion, and that was kind of the first time I allowed my brain or my thoughts to go completely to what could have happened if the cops were called and what situation they could have been in. And that was why it was emotional there. But I think as a family, man, we were just excited and happy that Jordan was still here, that it didn't escalate into anything more, and that now this can be a learning tool, not only for him, but for us as a family, and hopefully other people who've heard about, you know, his story and what happened.
Yeah, obviously he has a great father in you to help him through this, and certainly at school at Arizona State, I mean, Herm Edwards,
a great
mentor to guide him through that as well. So that good for
they've
your son.
Been,
for, yeah.
Yeah, no, they've been amazing. Honestly, I've talked to multiple people there. Obviously, Antonio Pierce is there, Coach Herm, and so even all the way up to many of the staffers gave me a call. Also, too, I want to say this, and I know people listen to me and they understand the heart I have for fighting for equality. You know, if you follow me, you know, I've been out speaking and doing different things. Trey Wingo texted me the day it happened, the day it was on Twitter. And he said something and did something that I will always appreciate. He said, you know what, man, like when it's my friends, I'm not going to do the Twitter thing. And that meant the world to me that he reached out. Junior even reached out to me on social and DM'd me. And I want people to know that it's not everybody. You know, there are some people who look at the world in a way that if you're good people and you're loyal and you treat them right, they love you all the same, no matter the color. And so I just want to say it's been an outpouring of love, but definitely to you two guys, man, I am so grateful. You reaching out meant the world to me, and I will never forget that.
Love you, brother.
Don't I feel bad that I didn't DM or tweet or something?
What's wrong
like
with
that?
You, you heartless troll? What's wrong with you? Have you no shame?
He can't figure out how to open his DMs, Ryan. Yeah, it's a technical issue.
None of my kids were around to explain that to me, so sorry about that.
Hey, Junior, he raised you, so I already know what type of heart he has anyway, brother.
All right, so I'll try and save myself from that and just go to football and say, hey, does Jamal Adams have any chance of being traded at all?
Not a chance. Not a chance, Golden. We were texting yesterday, I think it was, and we were kind of talking about it. And I was like, bro, I just don't think they're going to let you go. I said, the one thing the Jets know, Joe Douglas knows, Adam Gase knows, all Jets fans, is Jamal Adams truly loves football. He loves playing the game. He loves training. He wants to be one of the greatest of all time. The first time I talked to him, he was a freshman at LSU. I was still playing. He reached out to me because he's like, man, I want to know all of the great players that played at this school. I want to be a part of that legacy. I want to know what I can do to be better. And to have my name spoken of when they talk about DBU. And ever since he's gotten to the league, you know, his first year when he wasn't a Pro Bowler or All-Pro, he said, I can't get to my ultimate goal if I don't start playing well enough to put myself in some of these conversations, a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro. And he wants to be a Hall of Famer. And when you want to be a Hall of Famer, you got to play. And I think Joe Douglas knows that. And I believe the Jets, If they don't get some absurd offer for Jamal Adams, which I think it would have to be, I believe he'll be a Jet in the fall, and they're going to make him make the decision. Show the world that either you love football the way that everybody thinks you do, or allow us to paint you as a selfish football player who only cares about himself. That's where I see this going.
Ryan Clark with us here on Golic and Wingo, and certainly that situation feels a lot more certain in that, like you said, he will not be moved. We saw in Dallas, Dak Prescott, one of the also destinations Jamal Adams would have liked in all this.
One. High on the list.
Dak Prescott signed his franchise tender, is going to, you know, be owed that $31.4 million going into this fall. Do you think there's any shot now in the position that he's in that he signs a long-term extension before July 15th, knowing the position the Cowboys are now in?
You know, I think there is a chance. I believe that chance is extremely small because it's going to depend on whether or not Dak comes off of his price, comes off of his stance of wanting a shorter deal, more money, you know. And so I don't believe the Dallas Cowboys are going to move. I think they're stuck in where they want to be. They're comfortable in paying him the $31 million this year. And so unless Dak Prescott in some way in the next 3 weeks says to himself, you know what, this is enough money, I want the security, we're extremely uncertain times as a society, then maybe they get the deal done. But I believe it's going to have to be on Dak to change because the Dallas Cowboys don't seem like they're willing to, because this has been going on for the last 2 years.
And that's the interesting thing about this is there's no way the Cowboys can deal with another franchise tag next, especially year. Nope. If the cap is flat or lower and they're paying him 37. So Dak is in a really good spot here no matter what, and we'll see how this plays out. Hey, always good to talk to you, my friend, and look forward to talking more football with you as this thing ramps up, okay?
My man, have a good one, man.
All right, I'll tweet you later, Ryan.
Way to slacker. Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains now through June 30th. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right, coming up, do we actually have the perfect team to win a series that already has an asterisk? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
This is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Either.
Ooh.
Neither.
There's levels to this, bro.
Or both.
Say it again!
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
This is either, neither, or both with Golic and Wingo.
What it is.
I regret that every week. Wow. I'm just telling you that
should.
Right now.
That's why I'm glad we play it every week. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's get your quote at progressive.com today. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo.
Yeah.
With you guys here. What it do? We're here to play a little either, neither, or both, Trey.
What it do?
We're here to play a little either, neither, or both.
Okay.
That is quite literally.
Well, right now it's either as one of the pugs has come downstairs.
What it do? Yep. Yes. We have either in the form of Hank.
Not Harry.
Not Harry yet. So that's a great first answer and a great first try at this. I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
You're going to tell me whether you want to co-sign either, neither, or both.
Boom.
Of said options. And Trey, we'll start with you. Either, neither, or both will win the 2020 World Series, Red Sox or Astros. I feel like we can eliminate both already in this one, so either or neither, Trey.
I'm going to book it. No, wait, I'm going to say neither, because I think it's going to be either the Yankees or the Dodgers. So no chance for me.
I agree. I'm saying neither. Neither one in this.
The Astros, I mean, could you write a better story where, like, the anti-hero or the bad guy wins and all this than the Astros back in a season where they wouldn't have to suffer any of the slings and arrows from crowds? That
they're getting off so easy on this, it's remarkable.
That's why, I mean, it would almost how much wailing and gnashing of teeth would happen if they came back, because that's the only recourse they have now after all that.
Now, to be fair, there's also these stories coming out about maybe some other things that happened to some other teams. I'm sure the Astros are loving that part of the story.
How great would it be, by the way, is all we've talked about for all these sports coming back, the shortened seasons are, well, you know what? There's no asterisk. It's going to be difficult and all this. How quickly would we slap an asterisk on it if the Astros won the World Series?
Ginormous.
Giant one on that one. Dad, either, neither, or both will be part of the Knicks franchise in 2021. Jason Kidd, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, the thought of Jason being the coach and he coached Giannis and him luring Giannis to the Knicks. No shot Giannis goes to the Knicks.
Nope.
And quite honestly, I don't think it's going to be Jason Kidd. I think it's going to be Tom Thibodeau who ends up coaching there. So
Tibbs.
I'm going to say neither.
I'm going to say neither as well. Until someone actually goes to the Knicks, I mean, someone has to be that guy that says, I'm really good at what I do, and I'm willing to work for this organization that is a rolling meme of a dumpster fire rolling down the highway. Until someone decides to cross that bridge, I can't do it. So neither.
I'll do like when you used to fudge the T and the F on your test so that the teacher wouldn't know and you might get credit, even though they just narked it wrong when that happened. Spoiler alert for any of you guys still doing that. I would go neither on this one with the prospect of Jason Kidd, because Giannis isn't going there. No good player worth his salt's going to go play for the Knicks right now.
Like, so you're right in putting the N in a really
It's light, a really small, like N. It's kind of like I erased it.
By the way, saying neither or either.
By the way, is it bonus either, neither, or both Wednesday or Friday? Friday, because you're out here hanging out again.
Listen, I got vacation coming up. What do you want from me? Yep. I had to get it in somehow.
I just want to make sure.
You guys got to get it whenever you can.
I noticed.
It, either, neither, or both. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. You can play along with us on our Instagram page, at Golic and Wingo. Trey, either, neither, or both will play on the franchise tag. Chris Jones, Dak Prescott.
Feeling like both at this point. Because, again, July 15th is the deadline. It doesn't feel like Dak is willing to budge off his 5 years, and they got to pay him an enormous amount next year anyway, which they can't stomach. So the Cowboys will probably get a deal done next year. And I don't see the Chiefs budging off the franchise tag for Chris Jones either, because they got to save money for that guy you may have heard of.
Plus, Patrick Chiefs Mahomes. Have what, $6 million in cap space remaining? Cowboys, $11 million in cap space remaining. I think both will play on the franchise tag.
I'll go either, and I'll say Dak will play on the franchise tag. I think that with Chris Jones, and in general in these situations, the flexibility that comes with a long-term deal for a guy you know you want around, I think will allow you to operate better. In theory, I'd have to look at the specifics, and I understand what you just brought up there, Dad, but relative to saving, you know, whenever Pat signs, it's probably going to be a long deal, and it's probably going to be one where they can spread out an inordinate amount of money.
God, Chris Jones is important to that Chiefs defense.
Oh, he is. That's a guy you certainly want to make sure that foundation set on the other side of the ball, and if there's anyone worth spending money on that defense, it is certainly him. Trey, either, neither, or both will make the Pro Bowl. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and the initial round of the Pro Bowl.
Right. The first ballot, not the 17th version that eventually goes.
What do they name for the NFC?
Three aside. I'm going to say neither. I feel pretty strongly about that.
Neither?
Neither.
I'm saying both.
I think both teams are in the playoffs. New Orleans, I think, is a great shot for the Super Bowl. Actually, Tampa does too, but I still have New Orleans winning that division. I think Tampa makes the playoffs. And I think both these guys have monster stats as well with the weapons that they have. So I'll say both.
Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz. Yikes.
Yep.
I think it's going to be tough. I say neither.
I'll say either, and I'll say Tom.
Tommy?
Freak show weapons there, a team that's prime on the rise, a high standard that already exists for Drew Brees, all those things. Plus, you just have so many great quarterbacks that I think Matthew Stafford's going to come back with a Pro Bowl there.
Agreed.
Russell Wilson is still a person that exists, so you're guaranteeing him a spot.
Wait, Russell Wilson exists? Basically.
Yeah, I know.
The breaking news sounder.
Believe me, a lot of arguments around the quarterback position that take place online seem to forget that in ways that are baffling to me in all of this. Dad, either, neither, or both will play in their respective leagues again. J.R. Smith and Dez Bryant.
Well, I'll go either and J.R. because Woj said so.
Yeah.
I mean, Woj speaks, we listen. Dez, I just think, listen, we just had an unbelievable draft of young wide receivers. I think there's a plethora of them. I don't see Dez getting a job. So I say either and I say J.R.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's the easy answer because he's being courted and Dez is still maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, if the answer is which pugs are licking Mike Golick Sr.'s hands, the answer is both.
Interesting. I'm going to say either in this situation and JR as well. I think Dez especially, a lot of his ties at this point in time would have been to Dallas or New Orleans, two teams, certainly New Orleans where he was before his last injury that had signed them, now seems a little bit more set at that position. You bring Emmanuel Sanders over, and Dallas obviously could not be more loaded at that spot. So going to go either JR Smith on that one. Praise the Lord. Either, neither, or both. Trey will throw 20 touchdowns this season. Sam Darnold, Danny Jones.
I'm going to say both. 20 touchdowns is not a terrible line of demarcation. Darnold with the mono gate last year missed two games through 17.
That was in 2018. Last year he threw 19 and missed two games.
20, absolutely. They're both thrown for
20. Jones threw 24 last year. I definitely say both.
Yeah, that's a layup.
I think both would be over.
All right. One of those guys makes the Pro Bowl. Who is it? I think we've all said
we've
Sam
done
Darnold
that either,
before,
neither. Yeah. And I said neither.
Man. Thought I had something
nope.
there. All right, fair enough. Either, neither, or both.
Shut it down.
We'll win at least 8 games this year. The Patriots, the Dolphins.
Oh, I think the Dolphins will for sure. I'll say either, and I'll say the Patriots.
I'm going to say both in a shocking turn of events.
Dolphins did great on paper again.
They did, and I think they're buying into what Brian Flores and Chris Greer are selling, and that's the most important thing you have for a franchise. And you've got Fitzmagic there. And
here's my issue
there.
With that. Yeah. Fitzmagic usually doesn't make it a full season.
Tua.
And if he doesn't, then you got a rookie in Tua.
But it's
so,
a good rookie.
Oh,
I will say this. Okay. The most surest bet in the world is the Patriots will be 500 or higher. I don't care who's playing quarterback. They will be 500 or higher.
I'll say either. I had the Patriots at 8-8 when we started doing division previews and all of this one. I think the Dolphins, the real crux is still going to be young on the lines of scrimmage in ways that need overcoming. I'm confident in the quarterback position for them going forward. And on defense, they've certainly added a lot there in the mold for Brian Flores.
You can get the
well.
Last one in because it's an easy answer.
Either, neither, or both going to get a new deal before the start of the season. Dalvin Cook, Jamal Adams.
Neither. Yeah.
Unfortunately, very easy. And in both situations, you can see where the players are at a disadvantage. It's unfortunate because we want everyone to get paid. We'd
absolutely
love to see that,
right.
But we understand what's happening with the running back position, and we certainly understand the amount of team control and team-friendly contracts that these groups are dealing with.
Golic and Wingo, official show motto. We want everyone to get
everybody paid. Everybody get paid when you can, man.
Coming up with just a 60-game season, is Major League Baseball actually starting the season on a third base scenario? We'll get to that next. Stay with us. Golic and Wingo with you on a Wednesday morning on ESPN Radio and, of course, on ESPN2.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.